Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're listening to Pop Culture Weekly with Kyle McMahon. Presented by 92.9 Tom FM, an iHeart Radio station.
Hello and welcome to Pop Culture Weekly with Kyle McMahon. I am Kyle McMahon. It is episode number 47. You're getting an extra special dose of Pop Culture Weekly this week because we have the PBS National Memorial Day concert. Spectacular. So this weekend is the annual PBS National Memorial Day concert. And obviously, I'm not there this year. Nobody's there this year. It's you know, not happening there this year. It's happening virtually. So it is really cool what they've put together, what Capitol Concerts has put together, you know, in spite of the what's going on right now. There is an amazing lineup of performances with Cynthia Erivo, who I'm talking to today, and Drace Adkins, who I'm talking to today, and of course, Joe Mantegna, who I'm talking to today, is hosting with Gary Sinise, and there's, seriously, Lawrence Fishburne is there, Sam Elliott, just an incredible lineup of performers, and I really, really, really can't wait for you to see it. I can't wait to watch it live. I'll probably be doing a watch party on my Facebook, so on my, you know, so at Real Kyle McMahon. So head on over there Sunday night if you want to watch. If this is past Sunday night, you can watch it on demand. So just so you know. All right. So as you may have heard, I have very special interviews lined up. Mary McCormick, who is a celebrated actress who's been on everything. The show that just ended, The Kids Are All Right. I love that show. So I talked to her, and I talked to Cynthia Erivo, the two-time Oscar-nominated actress, Grammy winner, and Tony winner. Love, love, love her. And I talked to Trace Adkins, of course, big, big country artist who's been around, you know, with hits forever. And Joe Mantegna himself, Fat Tony from The Simpsons. And, of course, he's been on, you know, in The Godfather and other things, but mostly Fat Tony. So we are going to start with Mary, and then we're going to go to Trace, and then Joe Mantegna, and then Cynthia. Enjoy all these interviews. I really, really hope that you love them, and I think that you will. Happy Memorial Day. So I am here with Mary McCormick. Thank you. I'm so glad to speak to you again. Thanks for hanging out with me. So
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Of course. So we're going to talk about the PBS National Memorial Day concert in just a moment. But I have a couple of questions for you. You have been in everything, and you've done Will and Grace, The Kids Are All Right, of course, The West Wing. As an actress that has had, you know, a great career with multiple roles, do you pick favorites? Are they like kids, or is it? Is there certain ones that are closer to your heart than others?
I think so, for different reasons. I mean, you know, sometimes it's the part or the piece of work that you made. And sometimes it's like I made a best friend on something, or, you know, so sometimes it's that, like, you know, that you left that movie with someone who stayed in your life and is with me still. Or so I have favorites for different reasons. But like, I loved, you know, I mean, there's certain parts that I mean, Howard Stern's wife,
yeah,
is one of my all-time favorite things I've done, and also he's one of my favorite people, so
yeah,
so that's a double whammy.
Right.
But also, The Kids Are All Right, that part I played last year, the role of Peggy, was that's like an all-time part, so sometimes they have, like, I mean, I would have played that one forever.
And a personal favorite of mine was Into the Dark.
Oh, no, that's not the title.
Is it?
What one is that?
The Into the Dark series?
What one? Into
the no. Jason Blum on Hulu.
I'm not in it.
On Hulu.
Oh yeah, I didn't know that was the title of the series. Oh yeah, that was creepy. I didn't know that was the title of the series. It was the title of mine. I know. know.
Yeah,
that's how old I am.
You're
what was the title of my piece?
Your episode.
Now
it's gonna get on my nerves. Well, anyway.
The James Roday one.
Yeah, it was like based around a holiday.
I know, me too. Anyway.
So
creepy.
Yes, I love that one. So with National Memorial Day concert, this is your fourth year, I believe. Is that correct?
I think it's my fourth year, yeah.
And you have a kind of a personal connection, military-wise. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, my dad was a Marine before I was born, but I was, but you know, when you have a connection to the military like that, you grow up with a certain amount of respect and gratitude sort of built into the house. You know, I was raised singing the Marine song, and you know, everyone, I think everyone feels gratitude, but I think if you have a military parent or spouse or something, it's just a different relationship. So I feel really lucky to be a part of it. I mean, when I watch the show, I'm moved, and to be in it is really magical. I mean, it's just, I think something everyone can get behind, like in this time where the country's so divided and angry and partisan, and it's like this one issue I think everyone can get behind and put politics aside and sort of say this is more important than all of that, you know, today.
Yeah. And if you're allowed, I don't know if you're allowed to share, but do you know the type of story that you'll be doing this year?
So this year, I think the show's gonna be really different this year. They're pulling from past shows, some, you know, great musical performances, and also stories that were told, tributes that were made. This year, I'm doing a tribute to Gold Star families and introducing some musical acts and got some friends to do shout outs and stuff. So there's gonna be a lot of surprises in the show. I think the show's obviously gonna take on a different shape this year. We're not on the West Lawn in front of the Capitol, and you know, it's different, but we have all the same, you know, we have some of the great, you know, General Powell will be speaking and Chris Jackson will be singing the national anthem. And so it's going to be magical still. And maybe in some ways more so this year, because we're doing a big section of the show is going to be dedicated to the newest heroes in America, which is all the people fighting on the front lines of the COVID crisis. So I think it'll be, you know, equally moving, just in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds awesome. And it's something that I look forward to watching every year. And of course, you know, having a little teeny tiny role in interviewing all of you guys that make the show what it is.
Great.
What does Memorial Day?
We're back on the West Lawn.
I know. But we will definitely be back next year.
I hope so.
What does Memorial Day mean to you?
I mean, I think it's, you know, obviously for Gold Star families and for families with active soldiers, you know, every day is Memorial Day. That's an expression that's always said, and it's true. We should be thanking and remembering our soldiers every day. But it is nice to have one day dedicated to it, you know, where we can all put politics aside and just say, this is the day where we're going to thank all the brave men and women who make it possible to live like this. You know, we're blessed, and it doesn't come without a price. So I think it's really important to have one day to do that. I mean, my kids come with me every year to the concert, and I'm really glad that they get to experience that and to be raised with that. I think it's important that we can all do that as a country. And I love that this show gets, you know, I mean, first of all, millions of people watch it on PBS and Facebook, and I think it's on YouTube, and it's a million ways to watch it. But it also goes to the every single military base through the, what is it called? The Air Force, the American Forces Network.
Yes.
It goes to every military base across the globe. So it's really wonderful to know that every single soldier everywhere gets to know for one day how grateful we all are.
I love that. And then what are your plans? You know, obviously for most of us, Memorial Day is going to look a little bit different this year. What do you have any plans?
No, I don't. I don't have any plans. I haven't thought that far ahead. I'm lucky to get a shower. I got three kids and homeschooling.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not making any plans.
And what
to
is
live another day.
There you go. Hey. That's all we can all ask for. What is next for you? What can we look forward to next from you?
Oh, my Lord. I don't know. I mean, who knows? I was supposed to start a new series in the end of March called Heels for the Stars Network, which is all about pro wrestling. It's kind of a really exciting, interesting, funny-ish, weird drama. But I don't know when we'll start shooting that. Hopefully in the fall, I think in the fall. So that'll be the next thing to watch out for.
Awesome. And so I guess when we can look out for that is going to depend on production, when production resumes and all that stuff. But we'll have that to look forward to once we get
it. Yeah. That's right.
Mary, thank you so much for speaking with me. I really appreciate it. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you.
And I hope to see you next year.
So grateful you do it.
I hope to see you next year at the West Lawn.
Me too.
Thank you.
Again.
Thank you, Mary.
How are you, Trace?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. So tell me a little bit about what you'll be doing with PBS National Memorial Day concert.
Well, this year is different, of course. We're still doing the concert. There's still going to be a lot of new performances. They're also going to take some of the best of from years past. They've been doing this show for 31 years now, so they're going to incorporate some of that. But the readings and everything, all that stuff will be fresh and new. And for me, I went to D.C. a couple of weeks ago and got on top of a building downtown and had the Capitol Dome in the background. So I mean, it was an inspirational setting, but it was really surreal. I looked down and there was literally nobody there. So it was the strangest trip to DC I ever took, but, the show must go on, as they say, and hopefully, it will achieve again, what we try to do with this show every year, which is focus people. And this year, especially, I think perhaps it will put things in perspective for some folks, you know. Yeah, we're going through really, really tough times, but it pales in comparison to some of the trials that we've been through in our past. And I mean, all the world wars and everything. I mean, there have been some tough times that we've persevered and come through, and this too shall pass, you know.
Absolutely. And, you know, you make a great point. You know, some of us might be complaining about having to put a mask on, you know, to go get Applebee's or whatever. But you have, you know, men and women who gave their lives and went through real hell to, you know, keep our country safe.
Yeah. Literally millions of men got on troop transports and went overseas, and their wives had to go into the factories where they worked and take over their jobs. And they had rationed out food and gasoline. And and the Great Depression, I mean, it was a terrible time in this country's history. And that's what's in our DNA. That's who we are. And that's what's going to enable us to breeze through this thing and get through it and get on the other side and look back and go, wow, we may have overreacted just a little bit.
Right. So are you going to be performing a song?
Yeah. I did a couple of songs. If the Sun Comes Up and I did Still a Soldier. So I did those two songs standing on top of this building, like I said, with the Capitol in the background. And it was cool. We did it with a skeleton crew. I mean, everybody took precautions. And so we did things the right way. But still, you know, we wanted to get the performance done. This is my fifth time to do this show. It's always been, I do a lot of kind of festival things throughout the year, every year, where I might sit on the bus and not go out and watch all the opening acts and everything. But in this, when I do this show, I don't hardly leave the stage. I'm off on the wing watching what's going on, because it's just an incredibly moving experience to be part of this concert every year. And, you know, this year is going to be different, but hopefully we'll achieve the same goal and help people focus and help them to remember that this is a very, very important, if not the most important holiday that we observe, because if it weren't for this one, probably wouldn't even be able to celebrate all the rest of them.
Amen. And what does Memorial Day mean to you?
Exactly that. It's a time when we should reflect and pay tribute to, and just take a moment to stop and not take for granted everything that we enjoy, the freedoms that we enjoy in this country, and remember that somebody paid the price for us to be able to have all this. And that's what this holiday means to me, is just to slow down for a minute and just remember that a lot of good men and women paid the ultimate price for us to be able to live this beautiful life that we have.
I love that, Trace. What can we expect next from you? You've been doing not only music, but you released your book and movies and television. What's next in the Trace Adkins world?
Well, hopefully we'll get to do shows again this year. I don't know when that's going to happen. I feel confident that at some point, you know, they'll let us out of the chute and we'll get to do it again. But I got a couple of movies that I've done that are in the can. I don't know when they're going to come out either, but we're still in the studio recording stuff. I'm going to have an EP come out later this year. And then, you know, hopefully next year we'll have another album come out. I still enjoy going in the studio and get a kick out of that, being in there with some of the greatest musicians in the world, which is the pool that we have to draw from here in Nashville. So I still like doing it. So as long as anybody cares and anybody wants to hear it, I'll keep doing it.
I don't think you're going to have a problem with anybody not wanting to hear it. That's for sure. Any kind of insight into what kind of EP and album we can expect? Is it going to be like your the classic Trace sound?
Well, if there is a classic Trace sound, I don't know. But just going back in and doing stuff that means something to me, you know, and hopefully other people will be able to relate to it. I mean, that's what our mission statement is. I remember one time I was talking to Rodney Carrington and he said, you know, it's a beautiful thing to be in a place in your life and in your career where when you're presented with opportunities, the only question that you ask is, will that be something fun to do? And if the answer to that question is yes, you do it. It doesn't matter about the money or where it is or whatever. And that's where I'm at. And I still have fun performing and recording and writing and, you know, acting. I have fun doing it. So, you know, that's what I'm going to keep doing.
Awesome. And we'll keep consuming it. So keep it coming. Trace Adkins, thank you so much for speaking with me. I'm really looking forward to PBS National Memorial Day Concert. Capitol Concerts always does such a top-notch job. You're always a highlight of the show, so I'm looking forward to seeing what you have in store this year.
Thank you. Well, I'll be there. All right. Hope everybody tunes in. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. All right, so I am here with the one and only Joe Mantegna. Thank you for speaking with me once again. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks.
So this is, I don't even know, how many years have you been doing PBS National Memorial Day Concert?
This is my 19th year.
19th?
Right. 19 years, yeah.
And why do you keep coming back to do it?
Well, you know what? I realized when I did the first one in 2002 that it was, when I finished it, I realized, oh my, this is probably the most important thing I've certainly done this year. Because I went to it thinking, okay, I heard my friend Charles Durning, who was an actor, told me about it, says, you know, I do this concert every year. I think you might enjoy doing this. They look for actors to perform, you know, give these little speeches based on real incidents during, you know, about Memorial Day. And I thought, okay, well, you know, sounds like something to do on Memorial Day instead of watching the Indianapolis 500 or barbecuing. I said, okay, Charles, let me give this a shot. Well, I show up for it. You got to put yourself in that position. It's the Memorial Day right after 9/11. And next thing I know, I'm on a stage in the West Lawn of the Capitol. I'm looking out at 200,000 plus people. The American flag is flying on the Capitol building. I'm on stage. The National Symphony Orchestra is behind me playing Mozart's Requiem. And on the movie screens next to me, they're showing airplanes flying into the World Trade Center. And in front of me are four New York firemen in full dress uniform were around my age with their wives, and all four of them had lost their sons in 9/11. And my job is to say the words that they've been interviewed and now to tell their story while this music's playing, and all these 200,000 people. And I'm saying lines like, "It's a good day when they find a piece of your son's uniform in the rubble." And it took every ounce of energy in my body to get through it. And I almost levitated off the stage. I mean, and then I realized this isn't an acting performance. I'm recounting history, and I'm recounting a terrible moment in history. And it all hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, this is beyond anything I've ever done as a performer in my entire life. This is a whole other ballgame. And when I ended, and I walked off the stage and I hugged the firemen and their wives, and I was like a puddle at this point, I said to myself, this experience, I'll remember this my entire life. And then, of course, when they came up to me and said, if you'd like, we'd love to have you come back next year perhaps and do another thing. I said, look, I'll come back as long as you want me to. And as it turned out, Ozzie Davis passed then the following year after the next year. And then that's when they asked me if I would host it. And I mean, it's a long answer to your question, but bottom line is I've came to the realization it is the most important thing I do every year, and has been for 19 years. And I was so glad when my dear friend Gary Sinise agreed to become part of it with me. And he feels, of course, exactly the same way. And Gary does more for our military than anybody in show business, period, And so anyway, it's a privilege. It's a privilege to be a part of it, because look, I'm blessed. I've led a very blessed life, and we owe it all of us owe it so much to those who have preceded us in our country's military since its inception to allow us to live in the country we live in. It's got nothing to do with politics. It's all about, to allow us to be who we are. You want to be this, you want to be that, you want to be a Catholic, Jewish, this, you want to be a Democrat, Republican. This freedom ain't free. Mm-hmm. Some of us pay a greater price, that's all. And so this is my way, anyway, of paying back.
So it's going to look a little bit different this year. What is that process like for you?
Well, it's actually kind of interesting. I think this is going to be a very special concert, because what we realized is, of course, obviously we can't go to D.C. as we've normally done and get up in front of 200,000 people, because it'd be hard to get that many masks, in one place. So what we decided, thank God we have this, just like what we're doing right now, we have this kind of virtual kind of things we can do. So Gary and I got together here in Los Angeles under a very controlled situation, which is a skeleton crew. We filmed new segments in and out. A lot of the musical acts went out and did their own thing. I know Trace Adkins flew to DC, went up on the top of a building, and shot his performances with the Capitol out in the background. Of course, the city was deserted, and he was able to do that. There are things like that have happened. We're showing a lot of best of segments from 31 years the concert's been going on, because I came in, 10 years had already been going on. And so it's going to be kind of a special show. And then a lot of the celebrities over the 31 years have wanted to be a part of it. So they recorded some things on their phones and things like that and sent that in, little shout outs that will happen. And then we'll also use this opportunity to not just salute, our armed forces, our military, the vets, but also the new heroes, the first responders, the people with essential workers, people who have stepped up. This is all still, the main focus is and always should be, it's Memorial Day, and we have to honor those men and women throughout our history. But we should also take a moment of pause, which we will during those 90 minutes, to also salute those who, in our time of crisis now, are they themselves are also making a very big sacrifice, and some of them, the ultimate sacrifice for us.
Mm-hmm. And I was telling, as I was talking to Trace yesterday, so many of us are fighting about, I don't want to wear a mask and all, that kind of thing. It seems also silly when you look at something like the stories that are told during a National Memorial Day concert, where you have people that, were on the front lines that gave their lives for us to live the way we do. And we're arguing about masks. You know what I mean?
Exactly right. Like, I know one of the stories we're bringing back that was done, I think it was last year, with Sam Elliott. He recounted the story of a World War II veteran. That was such a powerful, moving kind of story. Then another one of the other segments we're bringing back is one that I had suggested a few years ago, and we were able to do, was a salute to the Tuskegee Airmen.
I remember that.
All black. Yeah. And they're going to reshow that as one of the segments. And that one, you know, you think of what these men, you know, had to do during World War II, and doing it at a time when there still wasn't obviously total racial equality here in this country. And so, yeah, wearing a mask, I think, we're not asking too much, especially in light of the sacrifices that we honor in something like during Memorial Day.
What does Memorial Day mean to you personally?
Well, what it means to it's taking on a whole new meaning during these past 19 years, I'll tell you that. I had a lot of family in the military. As it turned out, my father was hospitalized all during World War II with tuberculosis. He was in a sanitarium. He came out of there with part of one lung and then wound up only living into his, luckily lived into his mid-50s, otherwise I wouldn't have been born. But all of my uncles fought in World War II. I was very close to them because they were very instrumental in bringing me up because of my father's condition. But they never talked about it. So, and they all came back. They all survived. So it wasn't like Memorial Day was such a thing of like, oh, we're all going to go to cemetery and honor so-and-so from our family. But I knew it was there. I knew it was about and all that. And I thought, yeah, okay. And I grew up in the Vietnam era, but I had a high draft number. My birthday fell on such a date that they never called me. And I didn't think about it. It just didn't occur to me. I remember I tried to join the Marines at 19 because I broke up with a girlfriend. And I flunked the eye test to be a pilot. I wanted to be a pilot. I flunked the eye test, and so it didn't happen. But they never then really gave it much thought. But as I said, once I did that concert, and I started visiting some of these, veterans' hospitals, and became a spokesperson for 1 year for the hospitalized veterans. That's when all of a sudden it hits you, and you realize, that phrase that freedom ain't free really makes sense to you, and makes you understand. I have a pretty good life. I've had a pretty blessed life. I really have. I mean, what do I play pretend for a living. This is what I've been doing for over 50 years. It's not like I've been out, digging ditches, and I've done pretty well at it, but I've done it on the backs of some standing on the shoulders of some, people like in cemeteries all around this world. Veteran cemeteries. I've done movies like in other countries and I've gone to the cemeteries we have for our service people in like places like France, and you go into a small town and there's an American cemetery. And you go, wow. Mm-hmm. These simple white crosses, and these are guys that never even made it home. And I should be, I should feel bad about, like you say, wearing a mask or doing some other, That's what Memorial Day means to me. It's the most important holiday we have. That's the way I feel. Because without Memorial Day, there is no 4th of July. There is no Labor Day. There is no President's Day. Memorial Day allows us to do all the holidays, Christmas, Easter, you name it. That's why it's important.
I love that. I that's really a perfect answer. So speaking of your career, you've had and continue to have a very illustrious career with incredible parts in some iconic franchises like The Godfather and Criminal Minds. And of course, you are a decorated, award-winning actor. My question is about Fat Tony.
Here's his license plate. Springfield. This was a gift from one of their parties. Yeah,
that's incredible.
Anyway, go ahead.
So can we expect to see Fat Tony again?
I guess so. It's funny. I remember, since you are obviously familiar with the show and know about Fat Tony. I mean, I remember when I got that script. It was about, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago now, where I read the script. And he's killed and he dies. And I go, oh my God, this is it. It's the end of the line. And all of a sudden I realize, oh wait, he's got a nephew, and then it becomes Fat Tony and it becomes Fat Tony. I mean, it was a wonderful script because it did a whole takeoff on the Donnie Brasco. So I never knew. Like when I did the first one almost 30 years ago, I thought it was going to be a one-shot deal. I'd done The Godfather 3, and I'm sure that's why they maybe chose me to play that role, because they thought, oh, he just did, you know, the main gangster in the new Godfather movie. Be a good choice to be this gangster character. So I did it as a lark, thinking, oh, this would be fun. I watched a couple of episodes of the show and thought, oh, this is, I like the writing. This is cute. It's funny. It's, you know, smart, clever. And then they called me back and said, you know, we like the character. You want to do another one? I said, yeah, hell yes, I'd like to do another one. And so as it turned, it just, you know, they keep calling me. I keep showing up. I mean, that's basically it. And they know I love doing it. And I was honored a few years ago when they, I think it was when they put together their 18th season. You know, they do that. They stopped doing it for a while. They stopped releasing the DVDs, but they were such a demand, they started up again. And what they do is they would devote each season's set of DVDs to a certain character.
Right.
And a few years ago, they devoted that whole season to Fat Tony, which I was very honored to. And they brought me to Comic-Con, and, you know, it was all of a sudden Fat Tony was like the guy from The Simpsons that year. They had billboards of Fat Tony here in Hollywood. So it was kind of cool. But I love doing it. It's my longest running character. Matt Groening still is, he hasn't changed a bit. He's been he's the heart of, obviously, of the show. And I love working. I love the people there. And it's a big family there. I have the name, my five favorite characters I've done in my life. Certainly Fat Tony's one of them.
What about Criminal Minds? Are we going to be seeing more?
You know, well, we're done. I mean, we wrapped up the show. And
yeah.
So we did 15 seasons, 325 episodes. But you never know. I mean, if it was up to us, it was up to the last, especially the eight of us who wound up finishing up the show. We're still all very close. We tend to do, you know, I'll probably get a text thread from them later today. We stay in touch. In a heartbeat, we'd all go back and do something, you know, even if it was just to do a revival of a one-shot deal. I don't know.
Or something.
It might, but I'm not counting on it. It might not happen. It most probably won't. But it doesn't matter in the sense that we did it.
Mm-hmm.
And 15 seasons of a show is rarefied air. I mean, we're right up there in TV history. And it's a testament to the hard work of everybody, you know, writers, even down to the extras. I mean, everybody contributed, you know, everybody was professional. Everybody wanted to do the best job possible. But it's a transitionary business. In other words, I've never, you know, I've been lucky at Fat Tony and both shows. I came in on season three. I came in The Simpsons on season three, and I came in Criminal Minds on season three. So I guess I'm looking around for whatever show needs somebody in season three. And then that looks like maybe I got a job for a while.
Right.
But I understand that things come to an end. And the main thing is to just enjoy it while you've had it, which I certainly did. And Criminal Minds will forever be a big chunk of my professional life and a big part of my personal life. And I was thrilled to be a part of it.
And it's a celebrated show, celebrated character. And I, you know, hope one day that the gang will get back together, even for a one shot or whatever. So
right.
What are you working on next? What can we expect to see from you next?
Yeah, well, there are things in the works, but obviously due to current circumstances, everything's kind of like in limbo. I shot a pilot for Amazon that I really loved doing. It was tentatively, it was called On the Spectrum, and it was based on a show, I believe, out of England, or maybe it was Israel, I can't remember now. But it deals with these four young people who are on the autism spectrum. Now, I have a 32-year-old daughter who is on the autism spectrum, so I know exactly what that's like to be a parent. And that's who I play. I play the father of the main young man. And it was created by Jason Caleb, who did Friday Night Lights. And, you know, he's a wonderful, wonderful writer. And it's a beautiful pilot. I love doing it. And we'll see if that Amazon picks that up. You know, that's a series that I'll be a part of. I'm also supposed to direct a movie it was kind of based on the kidnapping of Frank Sinatra Jr.
Oh, wow.
But there was another film that was made about that, but that was more like almost like a docudrama. This is more like a black comedy in a way, because it really turned out to be a comedy of errors, that whole thing. And yet it's a very, it's really a wonderful script, because there's a lot of humor in it, but also a lot of, you know, love in it, actually. And I knew Frank Sinatra, and I was very close to his wife, Barbara. And anyway, I was attracted to the script. I just think it's a really good one. And again, that's in the works, and hopefully we'll do it, you know, once the business gets back running again. But I've never made plans as an actor. In 30, mm-hmm. you know, I've been in this business over 50 years now. This is my 51st year as a professional actor. And I wasn't one of those guys that said, oh, I think I want to do this, and play this guy, and I want to have my production company create this and that. It didn't work out that way, and it's okay. I kind of enjoyed the surprise element of the business, of like getting that phone call that on Tuesday you're doing this, and on Tuesday night you get this phone call, and on Wednesday you're on a show called Criminal Minds, and you're doing it for the next 13 years, you know.
Right.
And that's what I mean. Or you get the call, oh, play this cartoon guy tonight. All right, I'll come in and do it. Next thing you know, you're doing it 30 years later. So that's part of the excitement of the business, part of the fear of the business too. You never know if that phone's not going to ring, mm-hmm. which might happen. But if it does, it does. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. If I gave it all up, if it all ended for me tomorrow, it's been a hell of a ride. I've got nothing to complain about.
Well, I don't think that's going to be a problem for you. I think we'll be seeing you for, you know, another generation. So thank you for speaking with me. Thank you for what you do with PBS, you know, the National Memorial Day concert, something I always look forward to every year. I look forward to being there every year. Of course, it's a little bit different this year. But right. But it's going to be a special one. So I'm really, really excited. And thank you for talking with me. I really appreciate it.
No, I enjoyed it very much. And you know, I'll look for you. Hopefully, we'll all be back there next year. And I'll look for you. Make sure you make a point to find me.
Absolutely. Thank all you, right. sir.
You got it.
All right. So I am here with the insanely talented... I mean, there's so much to say. Actress, singer, I mean... Tony winner, Grammy winner, two-time Academy Award winner, Cynthia Erivo.
A nominee, not yet, but thank you for wishing that on me.
That's what did amazing. I do? What's wrong?
You said two-time Academy winner, which I...
Oh, will... I meant nominee. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
I covered that energy from you. Thank you very much for saying
yes,
that.
There
thank
you go. You. So you are doing... PBS, National Memorial Day Concert, which is looking a little bit different this year.
Yeah.
What are you going to be doing?
I'm singing two different songs. One for the heroes of COVID-19, those who are working to make sure that we are well, saving lives every day, making sure that we're fed, all of those people. And the other for our heroes in general. Yeah.
I love that. And yeah. And what does exactly Memorial Day mean to you?
Well, I guess it's the because I've done this before with PBS, and there's a really wonderful spirit that happens when you perform, or when you're in that space. And it's the time you get to reflect on the lives that were risked to save others, really, and the lives that have been lost. And those who've been left behind as well. And for me, I think it's a really wonderful reflective time to thank those who've put their lives before, our lives before their own, rather. And it's a great honor to be included in that as a British woman, to be able to help to celebrate that moment is quite special. Yeah, and especially now, mm-hmm. that we're using Memorial Day to also celebrate people who are risking their lives right this second. That is really special to be able to say thank you that way.
And how are you doing your performance? Or I know like Trace Adkins was on a top of a building in DC and he was like, it's crazy because nobody was there.
Yeah.
What will you be doing?
I was in my home and I'll be singing from my living room, essentially.
That's awesome.
It would look beautiful, and you'll see me doing that. Yeah,
that's awesome. I'm really looking forward to it. And on your career, on a career note, first of all, I love. It's one of my favorite movies ever. Is Bad Time at the El Royale.
Oh my God! Thank you.
Absolutely love that movie. You killed it. just such a cool movie, such a cool character. What was that like for you, you know, doing that film?
I mean, I had the best time. Honestly, I had the best time. Drew, my director, Goddard, is one of the nicest, most intelligent, most effusive people to ever be in this, in the presence of. And he was so excited the entire time that it sort of was infectious. You're sort of like, he's excited, so I'm going to be excited because he's excited about it. And it's one of those moments where you could do a scene 15 times, 10 times, and it would just never get old, because really what he's looking for, you know, at one point, you know, he's got in the performance, he just wants to see it again. He just wants to let us play and keep going and trying new things. And so we could be there for ages and ages, and our poor line producer, Mary, would be like, we have to wrap this up now. Let's get it going now. But he just created such a wonderful atmosphere that you couldn't help but want to be around him, and you couldn't help but want to be in the space. It was a wonderful experience, just because we created a hotel on set. So we were on a studio setting, but he created an entire hotel with a parking lot in the right way. And it just was like, it was amazing. To be part of that was awesome. And to be able to sing live and to be able to do the thing I do and be provided with the space to do it in was awesome. It was awesome. Like, it was just great. I had a great time. I mean, I'm in Vancouver, and like, it was just great. Like, transformed to like the 60s.
Yeah. And one of the things that I loved is that it really, for you especially, it encapsulated so many of your talents into one, like, you know, bomb of talent. I don't even know I just love it.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It pushed me to be able to do, you know, I wanted to sing live on set anyway, to be able to do, I think there's a scene that is a one-er, so it's one take all the way through. And I think, what am I singing? I'm singing This Old Heart of Mine, This Old Heart of Mine. And we did that 27 times. And wow. I think take 27 is the take.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And it took, like, we're just like figuring out what the rhythm is, and because there's five people, there's five different characters plus the person who walks in, John, who is walking into set. And it was just like all of these small pieces sort of coming together, having to find out what that looked like. I'd never experienced anything like that before, and I just had the best time doing it. Like, I really was like, okay, let's figure out how to make this work, and I'm good to go. Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, and it really, you know, as a film lover, I'm a huge film buff, obviously, I have a show called Pop Culture Weekly. It's just such a cool movie. It's seven people, yep, total, and yep, you know, pretty much one location, just an incredible, I just love it. And I loved you in it. So,
thank you.
Yes. Color Purple,
yes,
was what I would say was a huge break for you. What was that like? I mean, first of all, Mama O, Oprah, who I, you know, I had done some episodes of her show, Oprah's Life Class, who absolutely changed my life. And did that change your life? Did, you know, The Color Purple end up changing your trajectory?
Yes. Like, there's no like complicated answer for that, to be honest. Like, I always say, if it wasn't for The Color Purple, I probably wouldn't be doing the things I'm doing, and I probably wouldn't be talking to you right now about these things at all. Because the fact is, like, it started with this very small play. I did The Color Purple in the UK, and then Mama O and my producer Scott Sanders decided that they wanted to put it on Broadway again, and took me over with my director, John Doyle, who I love him to bits, said he wouldn't do it without me. So I came with him to do this show on Broadway. Had no idea what I was in store for. I had no idea what it was going to be. And I was just happy to be on Broadway, to be honest. Like, for some people, that is the dream. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to be able to achieve this huge achievement So we get there and this thing just sort of takes off. And like, you couldn't have told me that that was what was going to happen. And the moment that happened, like my life just sort of changed completely. It's been unbelievable. I always say it's like the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah. Because
it really is. Like, it's just endless.
And then, you know, from that, so that was what, 5-ish years ago or so?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, 2015, 5 years ago. Wow.
Yeah. So in that, I mean, you've had multiple dreams, you know, that people work their entire lives for just for one of these things. And you've done that multiple times in 5 years. I mean, performing on the Grammys with John Legend, you know, performing at the Oscars a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
It has to be a whirlwind for you.
Totally. I mean, sometimes I have to sort of like sit for a minute and take stock of the things that have happened, because I think it's too easy for us to sort of normalize the things that happen to make it easy to process. But none of those things are normal, because the fact is, when I was on stage singing at the Oscars a year or two before, I had dreamt of doing that.
Wow.
I just didn't know to what extent that would happen. So it's one thing to stand on stage and sing. It's quite another to stand on stage and sing the song that you've co-written and been nominated for.
Mm-hmm.
That is a different thing altogether. And I don't know that I would have expected it to happen like that. And to be doing that and experiencing something like that, that's more than the dream. More than the dream. So this has been a complete whirlwind, and I'm learning every day, and new things are happening every day, and I'm sort of like just open to the possibilities. I think those things happening have sort of like opened my eyes to the fact that anything is possible. Yeah.
I love that. And then Harriet, I mean, wow. Speaking of, you know, the Oscars and your performance, what was that like? I mean, she is obviously a historically, you know, important figure, a legend, and changed history. What was that like, having that kind of, I can ask you this now that it's over, but what was it like having that kind of weight on your shoulders?
It was, I guess daunting in some respects, but I sort of was making sure that I was prepared and ready both physically and mentally to be able to play the role. More than anything, I took it as a responsibility to make sure that, or at least try to make sure that I did her as much justice as I possibly could, to make sure that I told her story as truthfully as I possibly could, because that's really all anyone can ask for. And that's me doing my job to try and do it to the fullest. There are moments, you know, when you're standing on, because I did a lot of my own stunts, and you're standing on the side of a cliff and you're sort of like, this is scary. This is scary. But I think that's part of the beauty of something like that, that it doesn't come easy, and that you can at the end of it say, I put all of my best work in, on all of me into it, and I put as much as I could possibly put into it, humanly possible to put in it, so that feels rewarding when you get it back. I think, when you know it doesn't come easy, it feels rewarding afterwards.
When you know it doesn't come easy, it feels rewarding afterwards. I love that.
Yeah.
So what's next for you after PBS Memorial Day concert? What can we expect? I know you're doing something with a movie, potentially, version of the Carrier podcast, right?
Yeah. So when we did the podcast, they put me down as a producer on it, and I like actively, which is really awesome. So we are looking at possibly turning Carrier into a movie, I think we found our studio, so we're sort of
awesome. In
conversation for that. The Outsider is out on HBO, which I just did.
Yes,
with the Stephen King adaptation, which I loved and I'm really proud of. So have people watch that, because I think people should go back to it. It's really cool.
It is an awesome show.
I loved doing it, and I've never played anyone like her. So Holly is one of my favorites to show and introduce people to. I was in the middle of filming the Aretha Franklin National Geographic Genius program, and that is hopefully coming in the fall, and we're filming the next couple of episodes. We were on episode 6 when it all shut down, and so we'll go back 6, 7, and 8, and then hopefully everyone can see what we've been doing.
So yeah. Genius will be a full series of Aretha Franklin. Full season will be Aretha. Awesome.
Yeah, and then there's a couple of things that we're looking at, a couple of movies, and things, and I might be making a couple things and producing a couple things myself. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I mean, for your next project, please come back and talk to me. You are an absolute joy to talk to.
Thank you.
You are so sweet. You deserve every ounce of success that you have and more. So I cannot wait until hear those words that you're a two-time Oscar winner. I will be rooting for you for that day. So
thank you so much. You're so kind.
Thank you, Cindy.
Happy holidays.
Thank you. You as well.
So what I tell you, aren't they incredible? Just incredible performers. If you are watching this after the night before Memorial Day, Sunday, May 24th, if you're following along with your calendar, if you're watching it before that, it's on Sunday. It's on at 8 p.m. Sunday on PBS. If you're watching after that, it's on demand. So you can go to PBS National Memorial Day Concerts Facebook and YouTube and watch it live on demand there. Or, you know, if you have Comcast or Verizon or whatever, you can also watch it on demand there. So I highly suggest you do it. I'm telling you, every year I cry. It's just such an incredible show. In any event, I love you all. I just want to give a huge shout out to our men and women who, you know, allow us to do what we do by putting their lives on the line. So, you know, huge, huge shout out to our military and first responders and everybody that, you know, again, puts their lives on the line for us. So happy Memorial Day. I will see you next week.
You're listening to Pop Culture Weekly with Kyle McMahon, presented by 92.9 Tom FM, an iHeart Radio station.
Hot dogs and hamburgers.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.